The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. I will be reading to you from the March-April issue of Sports Illustrated for the next half hour. And we're going to begin on page 8, the last section of Who's Who in Sports. And we have Bo Bichette, Toronto Blue Jay, shortstop. His height is 6 feet. His weight is 165 pounds. He was born March 5th, 1998, in hometown St. Petersburg, Florida. For the first time in his three-year career, Bichette was named to the American League All-Star team in 2021. He had 29 homers and 102 runs batted in. Bichette was the second-round pick of the Blue Jays in 2016. His father, Dante, had a 14-year major league career in which he hit 274 homers, including 40 in 1995 for the Rockies. But did you know Bichette is named after former two-sport star Bo Jackson? Dante Bichette referred to Jackson as the coolest athlete ever. Next, we have Matty Zimmer, Northwestern Wildcats, midfielder, soccer. Her height is 5'5". She was born September 28, 2001. Her hometown is Hershey, Pennsylvania. Following a season in which Northwestern won the national title, Zimmer was named Most Outstanding Player of the NCAA Tournament. She finished the season with 9 goals and 3 assists, including the Wildcats' second goal in their 2-0 win over Liberty in the national championship game. Did you know, in field hockey, field players are only permitted to play the ball with the flat part of their sticks, and only the goalies can touch the ball with their bodies? DeMar DeRozan, Chicago Bulls, guard. His height is 6'6". His weight is 220 pounds. He was born August 7, 1989, in his hometown, Compton, California. In his first season in Chicago, DeRozan led the Bulls to a 37-21 start, the second-best mark in the Eastern Conference. He averaged 27.9 points per game and was named to his fifth All-Star team, but his first since 2018 when he was a member of the Raptors. Did you know DeRozan set an NBA record with a stretch of 7 games of at least 35 points while shooting 50% or better? The previous mark, while shooting 50% or better, the previous mark was held by Wilt Chamberlain, who had 2 6-game runs. Continue with the refs, the guys in the stripes. The refs is history. Circa 2220 handbooks for the Chinese game Kuju, a precursor to soccer, suggest the presence of an official. 1921, rubbing a special mud on baseball becomes the duty of the umpires. Mud is still used, but it is now rubbed on by equipment managers. 1921, football ref Lloyd Olds invents the striped shirt, supposedly after a quarterback mistakenly threw him a pass. In 1966, Shorty Ray, who served as NFL supervisor of officials and rewrote the rule book, enters the Hall of Fame. 1969, the National Hockey League Officials Association forms to fight for better pay and conditions. The emergence of the World Hockey Association in 1972 leads to the union's first CBA. In 1997, Violet Plumber becomes the NBA's first woman to referee when she officiates a Dallas Mavericks-Vancouver Grizzlies matchup. 2001, Hawkeye Technology, which would later be used to make calls in tennis, makes its broadcast debut during a May 21st England-Pakistan cricket match. 2018, the International Football Association Board and Premier League approve use of the video assistant referee. It leads to 17 overturned calls during that year's World Cup. 1581, English educator Richard Mulcaster explains the benefit of a soccer referee for school games in a book on educating children. 1952, Major League adopts the four-man umpiring crew system for regular season games, 5 years after first using a six-man crew for the World Series. 1966, after 25 years as an umpire, including 15 years in the minors, Emmett Ashford becomes Major League Baseball's first black ump when he joins the American League. 1994, soccer refs can no longer be called the Men in Black after FIFA introduces colored shirts for them to wear during the World Cup. 1998, Harry and Hunter Wendelstedt become the first father-son duo to umpire in a Major League Baseball game together. 2007, Braves manager Bobby Cox breaks John McGraw's record of 132 ejections and reaches setting his own mark 158 times tossed. 2001, Jenna Schroeder and Natalie Sago are the first women referees to work together on the same crew during a Hornets Magic game. Close calls. A perfect game, kinda. July 10, 2010. With two outs in the ninth inning, Detroit's Armando Galarraga had retired the first 26 Cleveland batters in a row. Jason Donald hit a weak ground ball to the right side of the infield, nabbed by Miguel Cabrera. Galarraga raced down to first base. Cabrera threw the ball to the pitcher. Galarraga stepped on base and save. First base umpire Jim Joyce ruled that the runner beat the ball, leaving Cabrera with his hand over his head in disbelief and Galarraga with a wry smile. Replay quickly showed that Galarraga knew he had beat the runner to first. After the game, Joyce admitted his mistake. "I just cost the kid a perfect game." Galarraga was quick to forgive, saying, "Well, nobody's perfect," and giving Joyce a hug. The next day, Galarraga presented the lineup card to Joyce, and they shook hands. Galarraga and Joyce have since asked Major League Baseball to award the perfect game. A Rod's Slap, October 19, 2004. Alex Rodriguez wanted to end the curse of the Bambino. After the 2003 season, he agreed to renegotiate his contract if traded from the Rangers to the Red Sox. While the deal got nixed, A-Rod still helped the Sox that season. In the eighth inning, Game 6 of the 04 ALCS Classic, he smacked the ball out of Bronson Arroyo's glove while running to first. Derek Jeter scored on the play, cutting Boston's lead to one run. But the umps conferenced and called interference on A-Rod. Boston won the ALCS and then the World Series. Too many men. May 10, 1979. On paper, the great dynasties of yesteryear look unstoppable. The Canadiens won four straight Stanley Cup from 1976 to 1979, but even those teams needed a little luck. Trailing 4-3 to the Bruins with less than 4 minutes left in Game 7 of their semifinal series, Montreal went on the power play after Boston's bench Miner for too many men on the ice. Guy Lafleur scored a one-timer on the man advantage, and then Montreal won in overtime. See Boston, A-Rod giveth, and Guy Lafleur taketh away. This Tuck Rule. January 19, 2002. We really didn't plan on this page being so Boston-centric, but it proves our point about luck. Page 21. With the Raiders up 13-10 in a divisional playoff game, Oakland's Charles Woodson seemingly strip-sacked Tom Brady. The Raiders recovered. Instant replay, however, showed Brady tucking the ball, which made the apparent fumble an incomplete pass. New England kicked a field goal and scored in overtime and went on to win Super Bowl 36, and thus began the Patriots dynasty and football's tradition of technically correct, but obviously wrong calls. Burning. For the last time, how does offside work? Of all the calls in sports, one of the most difficult to make and confusing to understand is the offside rule in soccer. According to the laws of the game, a player is offside when any part of the head, body, or feet is near to the opponent's goal line than both the ball and the second-last opponent. In slightly plainer English, there have to be two defenders between a player and the goal line when the ball is passed to them, unless they are behind the ball. Since it's often impossible to see both the passing player and the intended target, the linesmen who enforce the offside rule watch the attacking player while listening for the sound of the ball being kicked. Muddling matters more are a few exceptions. A player can't be offside in their own half of the field, for instance. It can be confounding, so at the end of the day, you can always just go by the interpretation offered by Jason Sudeikis, who plays Ted Lasso. When somebody scores a goal too easy, it was offside. Will robots take over? When I started, technology was in the Stone Age. Paper, pencil, and eraser. I don't want any player to lose a match because of a bad call. I think technology should be used to help the officials and help the players. But I think there has to be a balance in how much you use the technology. If you use the technology too much, then the sport becomes a PlayStation game. You don't want two guys running around playing tennis and you've got a computer voice calling the lines and a computer voice calling the score. I think in every sport, people want interaction between players and officials. That's part of the show. I'm not saying bad officiating is part of the show, but there's always going to be decision-making in any sport. How do you deal with a bad call? We've all made bad calls. There have been times when I put my arm in the air to call a penalty and I'm like, oh boy, I want to chew my arm off now. After you make a bad call, you can't referee from a place of guilt. You still have to referee in the moment and move on. If you dwell too much on the past, that's when you start to try to catch up. And if you make a mistake, do you want to own up to your mistake, or do you want to try to lie your way out of it? You know, yeah, probably best to fess up to your mistake. I've said to coaches and players, hey guys, I messed that one up. That was totally my fault. That's not what happened. But let's try to move on, because I can't change it now. That's from Gord Dwyer, NHL referee. Wanna be a ref? Think you know better than the officials? Time to prove it. All right, here we go. We got questions here. According to Major League Baseball's rule book, the most important rule for umpires is what? Is it A, be in position to see every play? B, be ready for any play? C, enjoy a big hot dog? And we think the answer is A, be in position to see every play. 2, what is the NHL's referee to the left doing? Calling an interference penalty, dancing, calling a high-sticking penalty? And the answer is C, calling a high-sticking penalty. Next, we have the USTA Chair Umpire Handbook lists all but which of the following items as things an umpire may bring to a match. A, a whistle. B, sunblock. C, silver dollar. The answer is A, a whistle. Number 4, how are the IIHF's rules about fighting in hockey different from the NHL's? A, the players get only 2-minute penalties. B, the players get automatically suspended for a week. C, the players get kicked out of the game. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do manager is C. The players get kicked out of the game. Number 5. Which of the following common rugby plays is legal, albeit almost never attempted under NFL rules? A. Drop kicking the ball. B. Stealing the ball from a player on the ground. C. Having an Australian accent. Do 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 do. And the answer is A, drop kicking the ball. We can still do that. Number 6, what is the root of the word referee? A, the German referenzen, meaning to call. B, the Latin referee, meaning to report. The Dutch river, meaning zebra. The answer is B, the Latin refer, meaning to report. Number 7. According to Major League Baseball rules, if a pitch ball gets stuck in the umpire's mask, what happens? A. The batter is out. B. Runners advance one base. C. The catcher goes to jail. Boom. Answer B, runners advance one base. Number 8, how many NBA officials work each game? A, 100, B, 5, C, 3. Answer C, 3. Number 9. Which of the following is not a kind of official present at every NFL game? A, down judge. A back judge. A Supreme Court judge. The answer is letter C, Supreme Court judge, not present at every game. And finally, what do the USGA's rules say about removing stones in bunkers? A, leave any shiny ones. B, don't touch them. C, you can remove them. Boop, 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 boop. Answer, letter C. You can remove them. Well, how'd you do? If you got 0 out of 3 correct, you're out. 4 out of 8 correct, you're safe. 9 out of 10 correct, your whistle is in the mail. Goodbye, goat. Farewell for now. After more than 2 decades, Tom Brady leaves the game as the greatest quarterback in history. If you're reading this magazine, there's a pretty good chance that one of the constants in your life has been Tom Brady under center in NFL. After being drafted in 2000, Brady played 365 games. When he took his first snap for the Patriots on November 23, 2000, Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence was 13 months old. Brady, who retired in January at age 44, was about more than longevity, though. He won 7 Super Bowls, more than any other franchise. His 278 victories, including the playoffs, are more than the Ravens, Jags, Panthers, and Texans. How did he do it? He took care of himself, his diet is notorious, and he played with a chip on his shoulder. Six quarterbacks were taken ahead of him in the 2000 draft. They combined to throw for 4,470 yards. In 20 seasons with New England and two of Tampa Bay, Brady threw for 84,520. I wish I didn't have to end, Bucks coach Bruce Arians said, but few players have the opportunity to leave the game on their own terms. Even fewer can do it while playing at an elite level. Tom is an exception. Most memorable moments. Snow, big deal. Looking for the first time that Brady was truly special? How about his first playoff game against the Oakland Raiders in January 2002? Down 13-3 in the second half, Brady brought the Pats back with his arm and his leg, scrambling for a TD in the snow and then leading a last-minute drive that ended with a game-tying field goal. New England won in overtime, and a legend was born. Sorry, Atlanta. If you ever find yourself taking to an Atlanta sports fan, avoid saying 28-3. That was the score by which the Falcons led in the third quarter of the Super Bowl 40. But Brady led the Patriots on a remarkable comeback that culminated with a TD drive in overtime. Brady later trolled the Falcons on Instagram with the March 28th picture of Pat celebrating that read, "Happy 328. One for the ages." Brady had plenty of mileage on his body when he faced the Chiefs in Super Bowl 45. As a member of the Buccaneers, Kansas City was led by 25-year-old make that quarter, Super Bowl 50. Kansas City was led by 25-year-old quarterback phenom Patrick Mahomes, but it was Brady who came out on top. He threw for 201 yards and three touchdowns in the 31-9 win, picking up his seventh title and breaking his own record as the oldest quarterback to win the Super Bowl, 43 years, 188 days. Brady bits. Got them all. A win over his old team in 2021 means that there were no zero teams Brady failed to beat as a starter. Origin story. Brady was so unheralded at Michigan that he was the 199th pick in the 2000 draft. Coming back, Brady had recorded 15 game-winning playoff drives, including in six of his seven Super Bowl wins. Gronk. Of Brady's record, 84,520 yards passing, the most, 9,211 went to Rob Gronkowski. Who knew? Brady won three NFL MVP awards, making him one of only six players with at least that many trophies. And it's covered. No player appeared on the cover of Sports Illustrated more than Tom Brady, 25 times. Cooper Kupp, Los Angeles Rams wide receiver. Written off as too small in high school, the Super Bowl MVP went into the laboratory and built himself into one of the most dangerous players in the NFL. Last spring, Cooper Kupp moved to a Portland suburb and transformed a backyard tennis court into a barn that doubled as a football laboratory. The goal was to explore the science that drives elite receivers and figure out how he could use that information to make himself better. Kupp had turf put in by the same expert that local sports teams use. He added a curve, treadmill for speed work, a timing gate that measured his velocity in seconds and miles per hour, and a towing unit which he wore while sprinting to add resistance, usually more than 100 pounds. With his plan in place and his barn constructed, Kupp drilled into as many movement options, wiggles, cuts, stutter steps as he could. He would take into account variables such as defensive alignments and schemes, skills, weaknesses, and body language of defenders, whether playing surface and equipment. He used GPS data to determine when he reached his max velocity, approximately 25 yards downfield, 5 yards quicker than normal. Kupp would go on to lead the NFL in catches, 145, receiving yards, 1,947, and TD receptions, 16 in the regular season. He then capped off his post season with an MVP performance in Super Bowl 56, which the Rams won over the Bengals 23-20. It was a most unlikely season. The teammates described him as borderline brilliant. But early in his career, he was concerned. He ran such a glacial 40-yard dash at the 2017 NFL Draft Scouting Combine, that is his time of 4:62 seconds, was matched by a punter. Football in his genes. Cup's grandfather, Jake, grew up on a farm in Yakima, Washington City, east of Seattle. On hot summer days, he settled under a peach tree. Lying down and looking up, he visualized an impossible future, playing baseball for the Yankees. He did become a professional athlete, although in football, in which he played 12 seasons for four franchises, earning a Pro Bowl nod while with the Saints. Jake returned to Yakima and passed the dream gene into his son, Craig, who carved out his own NFL career as a backup quarterback with three teams. Both men nourished Cooper's dreams. Jake read him The Little Engine That Could. Craig told Cooper he could do anything he wanted. Indeed, Cooper had bigger dreams. When he developed an ulcer in sixth grade, his family and coaches wondered, with little else to explain the diagnosis, whether Cooper simply cared too much about making it to the NFL. Did he really need to wear ankle weights all day long? Did he absolutely have to befriend the school's custodian so he could have access to the weight room at all hours? With no major college offers, Cup went to Eastern Washington, playing in the FCS. Cup related his NFL prospects against NFL-caliber defenders, dominating Oregon State in 2013. Five receptions, 119 yards, and two children in his college debut. Washington, 2014, 8, 145, and 3. Oregon, 15, 15, 24, and 3. Cup finished the 8 catches for 92 yards. It's been just the perfect team, the perfect setup, he said. I'm just so thankful for everyone that's been around me. It still really hasn't hit me yet. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.